What's going on? How are you? Thank you for being here on a Monday, a holiday Monday, assuming, of course, that you never miss an episode and you're up to speed. You're in for a treat. I want to give you the backstory first. My guest today, Danette May, and I are going to talk about our journeys and how it is we both have come to be healthy lifestyle experts, which our paths to this place are very, very different. But we have so much in common. And why this is going to be helpful for you, I mean, because we're going to talk about diet and fitness and nutrition and spirituality, family, purpose. But so much of what I want you to take away from this conversation is how both of us have used our pain from our past to shape what it is we're supposed to be doing today. I know so many of you struggle with the notion of finding your purpose, knowing your calling. And I hope that you've listened to enough episodes to know that you don't have a singular purpose. The reason why you're here on this planet, in my opinion, is because God knows what you're capable of. And that's why these interesting, difficult, sometimes very challenging, sometimes very painful things that you have to go through, even though you're an amazing person, they are because God wants to use your life. He wants for you to see the purpose in what it is you've been through. And in sharing our stories today, I hope that you'll take that away and apply it to your own life, and you'll think back on your past. You'll give yourself some credit for having survived some really painful, tough things. My hope, it's my wish, that by listening to our stories today, in them, you will be able to hear your own. So I'm going to start with a story, a true story. An honest story, because I only know how to be honest with you. You're kind of like my therapist, so if I need to send you a check in the mail, let me know. This really does go two ways. I understand so much about myself because you give me this opportunity on the podcast to think through things and talk to you about them. So I want to share with you some of the thoughts that were going through my mind. This is kind of an interesting realization I had recently. I was thinking back on the very first time I was told that I was going to be meeting the guest that you're about to hear from, Danette May. First of all, what you're about to hear is the first time she and I ever met. We did this recording. We were hooked up by our publisher, Hay House. We both are authors with Hay House. And I guess because we're both, you know, fitness and lifestyle experts, Hay House paired us up together to kind of work together. And I remember, if I'm going to be completely transparent, which you have to be around Danette because she will see through it, but I don't think I ever told her this. But when they paired us up, first thing I did was Googled her. And instantly I'm like, the whole like comparison thing pops up. I'm like, oh, look at her. She's super tall. She's got a long torso. She's got those nice abs and that beautiful long blonde hair and blue eyes. Oh, she's just one of those fitness people. I bet there's not much more to her than fitness. Which is so horrible to think that I'm that judgmental, but I'm being honest, because that's what I hate about the fact that people often see me as a fitness person. They never look further. I mean, I know you know that because obviously you listen to the Chalene Show, but that's one of the reasons why I just am so uncomfortable when people introduce me as a fitness person, because I'm like, that's just like a small 2% fraction of who I am. There's so much more that I want to help people with. That's such a little piece of my purpose. Like, my purpose is so much bigger and so much more profound. So I feel shortchanged when people introduce me as a fitness guru or a workout queen, any of those things. I don't know. I get resentful of them. And here I am drawing these same conclusions about Danette before I even meet her. So then we get assigned to do this interview that you're about to hear together, right? We get assigned to do this. And within like 45 seconds of connecting with her, because we did it via Zoom, I was like, oh, wow, I love her. I know who she is. You know how you can look in someone's eyes and you can tell if they're being honest and just who they are? Well, I felt that with Danette. And after this call, we just really ended up being good friends and we've gone vacationing together. And her husband is so much like my husband. It's not even funny. And the funny thing about Danette is she's a total tomboy. Like, she looks like, go ahead, Google her. She's beautiful. But I'm telling you, that's how she just looks, like natural. She is super duper low maintenance. She thinks I'm hysterical because I'm like, oh, I need some time to get my lashes on and get my hair done. Like, That's great, Miss Colorado, that you just live all beautiful and look like that when you wake up. Mine is smoke and mirrors, so stand by, please. Anyway, she's hysterical, she's funny, she's goofy as all heck. Intuitive, like I've never met anyone to be intuitive. Like, she's one of those people where you know she knows the truth. Do you know what I mean? Like, her BS meter is like on point. But she's got this caring, deep, spiritual soul that it just inspired me. Like, it really inspired me to be more in touch with my spirituality. Danette's story, how she got into health and fitness, is really different. We touch on it a little bit in this episode, but not as much as we have in person. And it was a pretty horrific tragedy. She lost her infant son. And on the day that she thought she was going to give birth is the day that she lost her son. And she went into a deep depression. Shortly thereafter, she also lost her marriage. And those dark, dark days marked the beginning of her own transformation, like figuring out the only way she was going to pull herself out of this negative spiral is by returning to health and fitness, like fixing herself, taking control of her own life, like really understanding how to get in touch with her spiritual side, how to understand the power of healing foods, the power of movement, the power of her mindset. And in doing that, she was able to completely turn her life around and has used that purpose, that pain, her past, to influence millions of women across America. So join us in this little chat that we had together. We're going to talk about everything. We're going to talk about food, fitness, movement, spirituality, purpose, all of it. And lastly, please don't forget to check our show links. Danette is the CEO of several different companies, and her supplements, her programs are all top-notch. You can learn more about Danette by going to danettemay.com. We've also added a link to her Cacao Bliss, which is this really guilt-free, decadent, purest cacao on the planet. You've heard me talk about it on my podcast before. It is amazingly rich chocolate, but it's also infused with superfoods, so it gives you high energy, mental clarity, and of course, helps to reduce inflammation. So we'll put a link in the show notes for that as well. All right, without further ado, please welcome to the show, Danette May.
I am really passionate about helping people rise up into their fullest expressions. And for me, it's been a journey of myself rising up into my fullest expression and really diving into the truth of who I am and unleashing and unlayering old paradigms of being and what was taught to me that isn't necessarily my truth in my fullest expression. And so I found myself about 5 years ago. I was a single mom. I had lost my son. I had $47 to my name. And I was in this really dark place of wondering if I mattered. I wondered how I was going to take care of my kids and myself. And if I was a good mom, which was my deepest, darkest shadow work to really work through. And through a lot of actually Hay House authors and just really making YouTube my mentor, I started to do the work that I heard that other people that I looked up to did. And I did a lot of mirror work. I did a lot of mind training and found that foods and movement and mindset were starting to shift my life. And I'm happy to say in 5 years, I've created an 8-figure business helping people live out their dreams, 70 employees around the world, and just really honored to be able to share about power of superfoods, the power of movement, the power of mindset to really step into who we're meant to be, whatever that is. And so that's what I'm doing in the world. That's what I'm passionate about. And I'm so excited to just connect with Shalene because she has impacted me as well.
Danette, that was awesome. And we're very much kindred spirits. And I think probably anyone who's can share in that belief that we all have the potential to be better and growth is what makes us feel like we're alive. I'm a Midwestern girl. I grew up in Michigan, just struggled in a household where I didn't know we were broke, but we were broke. And I learned how to like solve my own problem and then share that with other people and in the process create businesses. So even though a lot of people know me from exercise and fitness, it wasn't what I set out to do. I was, you know, going to law school and planning on being an attorney. I had a million businesses before my fitness business took off. And people always say, why do you think you've been so successful in health and fitness? And I always say, it's not because of my knowledge of health and fitness. It's because I get what it takes to help people change and develop good habits. And I was a horrible student. So I think I'm a good teacher. And so when I think about my purpose on the planet, I think it's to make complicated things easier, simplify it, whether it's buying a car or building a website or learning how to use exercise so that it empowers you or figuring out how to better nutrition or improving your relationships. Like, I've been through it and I can't help but once I've overcome a challenge, use that and to share my answers. I'm kind of a know-it-all. Like, I'm going to give someone who's, you know, putting my groceries in the bag at the grocery store, I'm going to give him advice even though he didn't ask for it. I can't help it. I'm going to tell you about the hangers that I love because they've made my life easier. So when people say, like, you know, who are you and what do you do? It's a difficult question to answer, but I can say very simply, my intention is to help people live a happier, healthier, easier life in any area that I've just figured out. I'm going to share my answers.
Wow, I love that. And for you guys, I'm really excited to actually connect with Chalene, and we're bringing you into this like huddle together because I used to watch you too. And I knew there underneath like the fitness, there was so much more because it was like, how did she get to that? There's a deeper reason that she was in the forefront of the fitness space because you don't just become the forefront of the fitness space. There's got to be so much more grit and so much why and passion underneath that, and also business savvy. So I'm super excited to just have this conversation with you. And I think what our intention really is that we really want to open ourselves up in vulnerability and just really share. Because like Chalene said, she likes to just share anything. Like anything that's worked for her, she'll share openly. And I feel the same way. And I think what we really want people to know is it doesn't matter where you're at on this journey. We're all just here to learn together. And we hope that we can share some information with you so that you can rise up, whether that's in business or your health or whatever dreams beating in your heart. So
yeah,
I'm excited. So I want to ask you a question really quick, because I'm going to just kind of ask you the things that I think other people want to ask you. So Chalene, like, what were you dreaming about and feeling like you wanted to step into when you were in your 20s?
I wanted to be successful at anything. Like, I had so many interests that I felt like, oh, any of these things could be it. And I kept doing things just long enough to realize I wasn't going to be the best or it wasn't working, which is usually like 2 weeks. And then I'd be like, okay, different idea. Because I had a lot of ideas. What I didn't have was focus. So literally in my 20s, I knew no matter what, I wasn't going to sacrifice time with my kids. So we were just starting a family, and no matter what I did, I'm like, I'm going to figure out a way to honor them first. But I was working as a paralegal. I was teaching fitness classes in the evening. I was doing personal training before work. I was still trying to make different businesses pop. I was trying to do a million and one things and always wondering, like, you know, this should be working. Like, this person's successful doing it. Why aren't I successful? And then I just pop around and do a million different things until I really recognize the one skill I needed to develop, because I didn't have fear of failing. No fear of failing. Just bring it on. Let me fail fast. But I didn't know how to stick to anything.
Wow. So you were like a serial entrepreneur always.
Serial like everything. Like I you know, growing up, my parents let me take piano lessons or horseback or art lessons, but I did everything for like 2 weeks. And then I'd be like, okay, oh, that girl's good at gymnastics. I didn't know how to finish anything. And that in and of itself is a habit, just quitting, or as I like to call it, not quitting, jumping to the next thing without ever finishing.
Wow. So cool. Wow. Okay. I love that. I'm going to kind of piggyback off that question, because I believe that we all have what I call our refiner's moments. And these are the molding, these are the fire, the heat in our lives that really gets us maybe into you, like more clarity, more focus. What was your refiner's moment? And I know we have multiple in our lives, but what would you call yours that really got you onto the path that you feel you're on now?
Yeah. And that's a really good question, Jeanette. Thank you for asking. I have heard, as I'm sure you have, so many speakers share that defining moment for them. I don't believe that we know it when we're in it, but I knew it afterwards. Mine is really very, it's not like a tragic car accident. I was in my car listening to a shock jock DJ who I didn't like. It was just like on the radio because my husband had been listening to that person. And he was telling the story about how he had been fired from his job at the radio station and that he decided to take out a full page ad listing all of his experience. You know, that he had worked in marketing and sales and copywriting and advertising, and he'd been a DJ and he'd been a music DJ and he'd been a talk DJ, and he'd listed like all of these, and plus his background that didn't necessarily relate to radio. And he wrote, took out this full page ad for himself, for someone to hire him. And he said he got lots of offers, but there was one letter that came to him in an envelope with one word at the center of an 8x11 piece of paper folded into threes. And it just said one word with a period: focus. And I was like, well, there you go. That sums it up.
Wow.
Dude, I need to focus. I love all these things, but mainly I love helping people. So why don't I just focus on the thing that I think can make the biggest impact? And I don't have to be, because I think a lot of people fear that they're waiting for their purpose. And they think that it's going to be, and if I choose wrong, then I'm going to be stuck doing this thing all my life, or I will have made the wrong decision. It will impact the rest of my life into eternity. And the truth is, we have many purposes. I think that we have purposes that we have to step into. They aren't our own. They often relate to terrible, tragic, difficult times that we've been through. And there's really no other way to explain some of the horrible things, like losing a child. How do you explain that happening to someone, except for the fact that there's purpose in it?
Yeah.
And so I think that if we let go of our fear of picking the wrong thing and we just do it, just give yourself permission to do it for a little while, you help so many people and feel free from the burden of picking the wrong thing.
Totally. I totally agree. I love that. Well, how old were you when you heard that in your car?
So I was probably like 29.
29. So yeah. And you were just, that's when it kind of like, okay, I'm getting focused. It's time to go.
It's like, it really set in like why everything was such a mess. Mm-hmm. And I was working an inordinate number of hours. Just, you know, I mean, I was successful. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I felt like I was doing more than everybody else, but I was exhausted. So it didn't feel like success. I call it stressed success. And so for you, I'm curious, Danette, when we talk about like having this vision for your life or a purpose for your life, when did it shift into health and fitness for you?
You know, actually, it always had been health and fitness for me, except because I was raised with all brothers. I had a very overweight mother growing up. And so I saw that polarity of my mom never going even for a walk. She never rode a bike, never did one push-up in her life. And I watched these four active brothers and my dad going off and doing all this stuff. And I wanted to be a part of that. And I could just see that polarity. And I remember I was younger and I saw this picture. We were going through old photos and there was this woman standing on the beach in this bikini, like rocking this bikini body. And I was like, who is this? And my mom like sheepishly was like, that's me. And I was like, whoa, whoa, whoa. Like, how do you go from that to what you are right now? Like, and I was really curious about that. And it got me into the fitness world. The situation with me in my early 20s is I was in fitness, but I was like following all the fad stuff. I was like learning about, even in college, I went into nutrition and fitness, but they were teaching us about skim milk and low fat foods. And I was doing all and like reduced fat wheat thins and all these things. And I was teaching my clients this. So I've always been involved in fitness, but it really took my rock bottom. It really took shaking me up, putting me into depression, losing my son and going through divorce that I was like, these reduced fat wheat thins are not waking me up, you know?
Yeah.
Like, feeling like I'm in a whole new space I've never been. And so that's when I really started to dive into holistic and superfoods and what's going to help with the brain fog, what's going to help with the depression, what's going to help me feel good in my skin, in my life, in my spirit. And so that's where everything actually shifted for me.
It's so interesting because when we think about suffering a tragic loss like that, the loss of a child, something that no one should ever have to experience, I don't think many people would connect that to nutrition and exercise, the healing, part of the healing process. So how and when did you realize that that could help you heal?
Well, I actually remember the moment kind of like you in the car. And it's a kind of one of those moments, and I think aha moments are fascinating, like yours in the car. And I think any listener listening, I would love you to like look back on those aha moments, like take time to reflect, because they don't have to be huge. They don't have to be this big moment.
Right. It's just comment on the radio.
Yeah. And they're in your cells. So I remember being in my home for about 3 months. I could hardly buy a loaf of bread because I was in this weird depression that I didn't even really know what it was, because I hadn't dealt with depression before after losing my son. I just didn't want to see anyone. I had all, you know, you have all the baby weight and you're uncomfortable and your milk's struggling to come in. You're trying to stop your milk. And so my spirit kept going, go for a walk, go for a walk. And it was very difficult to even get myself to go for a walk. And I was a very active person, so it was a very different world to be in. And I remember one day, okay, I just got to get my shoes on and lace them up. I'm just going to go around the block. And I finally got the shoes on. I went outside and I'm like walking. And it was one of those moments where I remember actually the homes on the side of the house, like the road. I remember the cracks in the sidewalks. And every time I kept moving my body forward, like my heart was like, everything started cracking open. And it was just this really profound moment of movement is what's going to heal you. Of course, I had always heard that, but it was so in my cells that when you just get around the block every day, it's going to heal your heart, heal your heart. So that was a really big moment that I was like, this stuff is real. Like movement is going to heal me. It's not about fitting into those jeans. It's about opening up my spirit and tapping into the health of me and the happiness of me. And so that's where everything started to shift. And then it moved into foods, and then it moved into mindset.
I think so many of us are in the same boat. You know, even people who are in our industry, people who are, or not even in the industry, but very aware of health and fitness. We tend to take our cues from media, from other experts, right? And before the internet, we're really at the mercy of the experts who have platforms that we could learn from. So I too, like you, just thought, you know, eating clean meant not eating fried food, eating as few calories as possible. If it came in a little bag and said high in protein, low in fat, I bought it and tried it and lived on it. I had no care or concern whether there were fake ingredients. I didn't think that mattered. I thought the only thing that mattered was low calorie and low fat. And, you know, as a health and fitness professional, I, you know, eventually did end up getting a program that I launched into health clubs. It was in 60 countries worldwide. That turned into an infomercial. And then that infomercial eventually turned into a certification for fitness instructors. And I just remember thinking, like, how did I end up here? I didn't study health and fitness. What am I doing? I guess I better learn as much as possible about nutrition. And the way that I learned wasn't by looking at the science. It was just by listening to what other reputable health professionals were saying. And then I had my own health scare. I was just about 5 years ago really struggling. My personality felt like it was changing. Like I couldn't concentrate. I'm always 99% of the time I'm happy. I'm even. Like I'm not highs and lows. I'm very even. I love people. But something started changing where I couldn't focus at all if there was any sounds, noise, someone, my husband chewing in the other room too loudly. Like, how dare he? Wow. You know, just like anything would set me off and I'd be in a really bad mood because it would take me another like half hour to figure out, okay, where was I? What was I thinking? What was I saying? What was I writing? What was I doing? And I was talking to my friend, Dr. Amen, about adult ADD. I was joking about it. He goes, no, it's a real thing. You should come in and have your brain scanned. So I went into my brain scan thinking that I might see some signs of ADD. But when I got my results back and I did a nutrition panel, I sat across the table from this renowned neurologist and he said, I know you think you're healthy, but you're not. Wow. And he pointed at my results. And he's like, we have to make some major changes. There's some kind of toxicity happening in your brain. Your brain is about 20 years older than your chronological age. Here's all the areas where you're not getting blood flow. And I'm like,
what?
Sure. And then we looked at my nutrition panel and it was like deficient in everything. I was like, can you go back and see if those are actually my results? I just didn't believe it. And that sparked confusion and frustration. And it boiled down to me figuring out that what was at the root cause of everything was leaky gut. Understanding that because of the artificial foods, because of the high stress, because of the over-exercise at too high of intensities, because of the lack of sleep, years and years of 4 and 5 hours of sleep, what I'd done is created low-grade systemic inflammation in my body, and the result of which created gaps in my gut, which 80% of the population, it's estimated, is suffering from leaky gut from a number of things, not just fake foods, but our exposure to, you know, glyphosate and stress and environmental toxins. But because of that, the foods I was eating
weren't absorbing.
And because of that, it affects everything. It affects mood. It affects weight gain and hair and hormones and ability to concentrate and brain function, everything, like every autoimmune disease. I'm like, all right, so now how do I fix this? And that wasn't easy. So for me, you know, once I figure things out, I have to share what I've learned. Number one, and I'm sure Jeanette, like yourself, I also feel, I almost want to say a sense of guilt because of the, and I'm not letting myself off the hook, but like, you know, we only knew what we knew.
Yep.
But like a lot of the diet tips and a lot of the things that I was preaching and teaching as being healthy were the exact opposite. So I feel like I have a moral obligation to set the story straight.
Oh my gosh. What I heard when you just shared that, and thank you for sharing, because I did not know this, how powerful to live this healthy lifestyle and be almost the cover child of healthy lifestyle and have this happen to you, to be like, but what I heard you say, which if anyone's listening, I hope you heard this, what she said, it wasn't because she wasn't eating the right foods. It wasn't because of it was a lack of exercise. It was because of lack of sleep, stress, too much pressure, probably, of all the drives she'd been doing to create. So it's like, so I always tell people, I'm like, there's people that eat donuts that are healthier than some people that are massively stressed out.
So true. Unfortunately, we define or we set our sights for health based on physical representations. Like every time you open up Instagram, you're like, well, I should be doing more because I don't look like that in my underwear, you know? And so you feel like, okay, well, you just don't know. And here's something I want to share, very frankly, is when I sat across the desk from Dr. Amen and got that diagnosis, I had a number one fitness infomercial and I was leaner than I'd ever been in my life and more unhealthy.
Wow.
I didn't realize that everything I was doing was, it was shortening my life. And the thought of my kids having to like take care of my hygiene long before they should have to was just like, I can't do this. I have to change.
So let's talk about this change, because I think everybody's like, okay, Shalene, can you tell me like four things you did to start shifting this pattern? Because you probably still ate healthy because you were eating healthy, but you just needed it to absorb in the system. But did you change anything specific in food? I imagine you did some lifestyle stuff more than anything. I want to hear it.
Yeah, but a lot of food. Now, they asked me if I'd been on chemotherapy or a hard radiation. I was like, no. Had I been a chronic drug user of meth or some of the other more damaging drugs? I said, no. Lifestyle can do this. I mean, if you look at my brain scan, it matches that of someone who was an intravenous drug user. Frankly, that's why I think it's so important for people to measure, because if I just have to be honest, I don't like sleeping. I didn't like going to bed early. I'd rather do. I didn't like having to think about minimizing the pounding workouts. I didn't want to do all that because I felt like I got here doing this. If I change it, I'm going to lose my edge.
Okay, we're going to take a quick break so that I can honor my girl, Wendy. Today's review on Apple iTunes is from Wendy0037. Wendy, be sure to check our show notes. I have a little gift for you. I love your guys' reviews. They mean so much to me. I read them every single day. And today's message, she said, your podcast got me through some really tough days, through my commutes, through my kids fighting while I'm trying to make dinner, through countless doubts and insecurities. I first started listening to you in 2018 after having just been devastated by life with my daughter in the hospital. It got me up. It got me moving again. It got me out of bed. It gave me hope that there's a better life for us. This podcast made me believe that we deserve more. Now, this year, with Shalene's help in 2020, this is going to be my best year ever. With your push journals, with Phase It Up, I look forward to every single new episode. I know everyone says this, but it's true. You're like a big sister, a best friend, a life coach, a personal trainer, a business mentor, all in one. Wendy, I love you. Thank you for that. It was a bright light in my day. And to every single kind soul who takes a moment to figure out how to write an iTunes review, because Apple, you don't make it easy. But for every single person who does that, or on whatever platform you listen to it on, whether it's Spotify or some other podcast app, when you guys take the time to write a review, it says what kind of person you are. And I love you. All right, back to the interview with Danette.
That's deep right there. I'm going to lose my edge. So was it a deep underlayer of, I got to keep driving to show up in my worth in this world? What was that drive from? Because I'm curious, because that when you just said I was afraid to lose my edge, to me, that's a huge statement.
Yeah. For me, it was food and exercise were the only way I was able to avoid dieting. I didn't want to diet. So the only way I knew to manage my weight was because, you know, I come from a family where you look around and everyone is obese, with the exception of my sister and a few others. But I just felt like, God, if I don't keep exercising, and at this point, what had happened is I'd so destroyed my metabolism because I was trying to out-exercise my genes and not paying attention to what I was eating, just making sure it was like the less calories I ate, the fewer calories I got to eat. The more I exercised, the more I had to exercise. So when I got this diagnosis, I was probably 3 hours a day easily of exercise. Very few calories. So someone saying to you, hey, I know you've got a number one infomercial. I know you already feel like you're an imposter and you don't belong here. Now what we need you to do is to eat more, exercise less, and sleep more. And I'm like, wah, wah. You know, I'm just like, well, it's over in my mind. But I didn't care. I was like, you know what? My health is more important. I can't care. I have to decide what matters more to me, my health or, you know, how I photograph on Instagram or being a health and fitness professional who's a fraud. And so I really said, tell me what to do and I'll do it. And literally the first thing I had to do was change what I was eating, because so much of what I was eating was fake food. You know, it was high protein, low fat, prepackaged shakes.
So it wasn't superfoods.
No, not at all. I would like make fun of people who are like, I have like superfood, schmooper foods. Look at me. I look great. Superfoods. Open up a protein bar. I was like, la, 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 la. And it seemed very confusing and overwhelming. And so I just didn't want to hear it. And I thought, it can't be that big of a deal. Look, I look great. You know, I didn't realize that is not how we measure health.
Wow, you guys. So this is really good because we watch these shows like Biggest Loser and we see them like work out for hours, which I'm like, I've known for the longest time, like that is just so bad. Like I'm like, it's not realistic for one. And it's not actually healthy. Like Shalene's saying, it's actually not healthy for you. And we're not saying not to exercise, because absolutely exercise is so powerful for your emotional health. But when it becomes anything good can become extreme and not good. Right? Like anything good, actually. Like I could eat too much cacao all day long and it's actually not good for me. But that's cacao right. In small amounts is a huge superfood as well as other foods. So I love what you're saying. So you had to bring down the workouts, which 3 hours I was like, wow. Okay. So yeah. You brought those down to how long? Half an hour?
No, like an hour most days, but different though. In an hour, I'll do some maybe steady state cardio, maybe a short HIIT workout. Mainly strength and flexibility, you know, but I give myself as much time as I need to also de-stress. So it used to be, it was like, okay, how many miles can I run? And when I'm done with that, I better jump on the elliptical. It was like cardio, 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 some weights too. But then later on today, then I'm going to go back and I'm going to do a kickboxing workout. And then later today, I'm going to do strength training. And it was just, everything was like, if I'm not dead, if I haven't destroyed myself, then I'm going to gain weight. I got to go harder. I got to go longer. And what I've learned now is like, this should be a real treat. This should be enjoyable. And if it takes an hour and a half because I want to mess around in between my sets or like lay on my foam roller, I take whatever time it needs. It doesn't feel frenzied the way it once did. Yeah. So I knew nothing about superfoods. I really didn't. I didn't care to. And that was just 5 years ago. And now today I'm helping people who also struggle to figure that out, understand how to do that in stages. It's not an all or nothing thing. You know, and I love teaching people how to get on the on-ramp, and we don't have to go 110 miles per hour. Like, better is oftentimes an ideal plan versus like best. Yes. And so that was my situation. But when you suffered this incredible loss and a divorce at the same time, Were you already in tune with superfoods and how eating that way could help you emotionally, mentally?
Well, I would say that I've always been fascinated by foods and like really food being medicine. So that's always like, I'm the girl that will read those books at night instead of other books. I read about foods and where they came from in different parts of the world. And what did the indigenous tribes think of them and how did they use them? Like that stuff fascinates me. And it always had been in me. But when I went to college, you learn about fat-free and you learn all the different things that you are not actually true. I hate to say it, college, but nutrition in college, not so bueno. So that's when I started to dive into alternative forms of healing and alternative nutrition on my own, really. I never took any courses. I just literally read books and books every day. So it was kind of giving myself permission to actually go get those superfoods, play around with them. And I didn't have a lot of money at the time, so I would do like 5-ingredient superfoods and combine them together instead of 14. When you read recipes, you're like, oh, this is going to take me a while, and there's 14 ingredients, and that's a lot of money. So I would just play around with 5 and found that my kids were eating it, and I was just really seeing the health benefits within myself and then researching more about what did the indigenous people think of it as well. And, you know, there are a lot of superfoods you'll hear out in the industry, you know, this is the best superfood or this, and it's really not that. I think that every, like all food can be medicine, and all food, there's more superfoods than there's not. A lot of people like to think that there's only 3 or 5 superfoods in the world that are best, but I actually don't buy into that. So I've always been into it, and it's just been something that keeps getting more passionate within me because I'm watching like my whole world explode because of superfoods. Obviously, 5 years going from $47 to this 8-figure business, I really attribute a lot of the superfoods to that mindset work.
Which I know people are like, wait a minute, really? Like, so what, I eat kale and I'm going to make 8 figures? You know what I mean? Like, I get it because I was
just kidding. Like,
you know, really. But I think what I've learned, because I think we're probably representative of everyone in our audience, you know, you having already had that mindset, me having to come around to it, is that, you know, the more research I do and the more I look at gut health and the more we learn about gut health and we recognize, like, we are a pretty sensitive, intricate machine. And to feed ourselves foods, it's great to have superfoods. But I think what we really also have to think about is, what about the foods I'm eating that aren't superfoods? What impact are they having on my overall health? Totally. And to realize that so 80% of our hormones are made in the gut. That means our mood, our energy, our hunger hormones, our sex hormones. Like, so many of our hormones start by, that balance starts by what we're putting in. And also, the good foods that we're putting in, we're diminishing their potential by eating foods that our body, we recognize it on the shelf because we've seen it before and we've eaten it before, but our bodies don't recognize it. So it's causing this low-grade inflammation. So what would you tell them? Like, okay, I'm eating some superfoods because I'm thinking this is probably the average person. I'm eating some superfoods. I don't know everything that I'm eating that I shouldn't be eating. Where do I start? It seems so overwhelming. With this new information every week, like, oh, go keto, go dairy-free. You've got to have dairy. You know, all these.
Yes.
Eat kale. No, don't eat kale. It's hard on your gut. Like, there's so much conflict. Coconut oil could kill you. Have more coconut oil. Like, where do you start?
Totally. And I want to ask that question back to you as soon as I get done sharing, because I want to make things simple. I think Shalene and I share that in common, like how as simple as I can make it, because I think people like to make things complex so then they don't have to do anything about it. And that's just a self-sabotage reason. And it's just how we're wired, is to make things overly complex. But for me, let me just say the things that I would remove from your kitchen right now that are just not going to aid in any gut health that I think are really simple. And let me tell you why I think I'm simple, because I'm going to say one of them and people are going to gasp. But I'm going to say like wheat and white flour. That to me, you know, we heard about wheat being really healthy and eat wheat bread for the longest time. But with more research, we're finding that they actually, to generate tons of wheat that we want to buy on the shelves, they altered the wheat germ. And what that has done is created a toxic response in our cells, created a lot of inflammation in our gut and our organs, which has now found to be problems with ADD and ADHD and anxiety and all these different things. And people want to go, I'm gluten-free or whatnot. I just say you don't have to get rid of your pastries, because believe me, girl, I love my cinnamon rolls. I love muffins. I have waffles every single week. It's just taking that wheat and white flour. Do not buy it anymore. And buy, like, you can do combinations. There's some really good gluten-free flours out there that you can just buy, and you don't notice the difference. So it might be almond flour, a little bit with coconut flour if you're kind of a baker and you like to mix and match and you're good at that, or you can just go buy the healthy gluten-free flour, which is just one-to-one. That's one of the biggest ones, because you will notice a difference in your anxiety. You will notice a difference in just overall gut health with just that one thing. And you can still have your bread, trust me. The other thing that I would suggest to just remove from your kitchen is canola and vegetable oil. That is so toxic. And we hear on TV commercials, this is healthy, this is so much healthier. And do not listen to TV. I know it gets so confusing, but what happens in vegetable canola oil, to make and process it, it gets heated up, which makes it rancid, which makes it toxic in the system, which anytime you add a toxicity into your system, inflammation has to go on overload to protect your organs so that you're not like hurting your organs. Your body's smart. It's like, let's build a barrier. And usually you're building fat cells because it's trying to protect your organs. So I would get rid of that, and I would just eat like avocados, raw nuts. You don't have to go overboard on the coconut oil. I know a lot of people are in love with the coconut oil now, but like I said, anything good, too much can be too much. So just find some healthier alternative fats. I just shared some with you right there. And then the other one, the last one, I'm going to give you three, is white sugar. White sugar, to me, like my kids know this, like I literally, if they eat white sugar, it's like them smoking a cigarette in my mind. And I just look at it. I've read so much stuff on white sugar that it's not to where I'm like, they can't ever have it, but I've definitely been very diligent to share with them, which I would share with anyone, the toxicity of it. The way it transpires in the body and on the skin is more toxic than smoking. It's very
more addictive.
Yes, it's very addictive. Problematic. And it doesn't mean we can't have sweets. It just means let's find another alternative for our sweets. 100% maple syrup, raw honey, coconut sugar. Be really like diligent just to replace that, because you will notice a difference massively just in your psyche, your brain fog, your cravings, all of it. So those are the three things that I would eliminate.
I would agree with those things. I think if we're offering tips to people, one thing I would also recommend is to download an app where you can just track, because most people have no idea, really, myself included. Even people who are very aware of what they're putting in their bodies may not know how much of certain things are having, for example, sugar or even carbohydrates, which our bodies weren't meant to have the amount. Like I always say, there's nothing wrong with carbohydrates. But carbohydrates are healthy. What's not healthy is the level at which we're consuming them, which the body is just, it doesn't care anymore what form of sugar came in. It's going to convert it all now into glucose or glycogen. And that's what creates that inflammation that wreaks havoc on all parts of our health, brain health, gut health, mental health, heart health. All of those things are impacted. And I didn't realize how much I was consuming. An app I would like to recommend is, and maybe you have one too, Danette. I like MyFitnessPal. It's easy. It's got a huge database. So you can literally scan food at any restaurant you can eat at, it comes up. And just track for a week just to see like what's going on. Because, you know, that's the first step, I think, is self-awareness. I wonder if I was tracking what I was eating, if I would have been just a little bit more aware. I was always kind of looking at my macros. And that'll give you a good sense of your macros. But, you know, so when I would hear things like, okay, eliminate wheat or eliminate flour, I'd be like, well, I'm not cooking with flour and wheat, so I'm fine. You know, I didn't realize that it's in our crackers, it's in our breads, it's in our cereals, it's in our chips, it's in our muffins, it's in our pizza doughs, it's in everything. And that there are, when Danette said you can still have all of those things, what she means by that, I think, is that there are alternatives, because there are a lot of companies now devoted
to
providing a healthier version of, say, for example, like chips made out of cassava flour.
Totally.
And there are so many alternatives, but ultimately you've got to be aware of how many carbohydrates you're consuming, because all of that converts in the body, eventually says, well, we don't have anything to do with this, but to store it, and we become sugar burners. Mm-hmm. And I think that's really what I know so many of the people that I work with don't realize. Like, they're having heart healthy cereal in the morning with whole milk. I'm not even doing skim milk, even without putting sugar on, no sugar added. That serving is the equivalent of 6 Krispy Kreme donuts, which you would flip out if you knew a friend was serving their child 6 Krispy Kreme donuts for breakfast. But if you heard they were serving them, you know, heart healthy cereal, you'd be like, oh, that's good, you know. But it's really like understanding how we're marketed to. And if I could make this as simple as possible, because I know we're coming up on time, my simplistic way of looking at this is try to eat as whole and as natural as possible, and pay attention to what doesn't sit well with you. Mm-hmm. Because especially when you have leaky gut, you know, you really have to pay attention to your digestive habits and what's going on. And, you know, we weren't meant to feel gassy or to have gas or to be as irregular as so many people just think, well, this is just my age or whatever, it's just me. We weren't meant to operate that way. So if you eat as whole as possible, don't eat less, but maybe eating less often, so the body has the ability to burn through our stored nutrients.
I love that. And I love talking all about food, but I'm gonna be selfish for a minute, because I want to hear, and you talked a little bit about stress and that being a big component. And so I imagine you have some tools that you've adopted to really balance that. If you're a driver like Shalene, and I'm a driver, but I can tell that Shalene might be a little bit more, you're a bigger driver than me. I'm kind of a lady of leisure a little. I'm a driver for sure, but I am fascinating when someone is that much where I don't need sleep and I can do this. Like, what are those tools you take on to really get you to that next level in your life? I believe your spiritual and evolution level, but also just to keep your day really where you want it to be in the peace zone.
Well, you know, I often hear people say to start with mindset, which is certainly key, but no matter how badly mentally you want it, it doesn't happen unless you change your habits. So for me, it was starting by saying, okay, I want to identify as someone who's healthy. I want to identify myself as someone who, when people are around me, they feel peaceful. Mm-hmm. That was my word. And so what are the habits of people who have those traits?
Yeah.
And then how can I develop those habits? And it really boils down to me, like, figuring out, studying habits. Like, okay, here's the habit I want, and I can't just force myself to do it. I need to figure out, how can I make this habit something that becomes mindless, where I don't have to think about it anymore? It's just happening. The habit of going to bed much earlier, the habit of waking up later, the habit of starting my morning a certain way that helps me to feel more relaxed and calm, the habit of drinking water. So when this happened, Danette, I would go through every Carl's Jr. in Southern California, probably twice a day, maybe 3 times a day, to get a Diet Coke.
I'm mind blown right now. I'm mind blown.
Because I'm like, it's zero calories. How could Diet Coke be bad for you? Like, literally, even though I knew, and I was a little ashamed of it. Like, it was something I didn't want to brag about, but I'm like, it's, you know, come on, it's Diet Coke.
Come back. The be back for alley of the drive-thru.
Yeah. Diet Coke. Down low. I would drink like gallons of Diet Coke a day, literally. And I was fully addicted. So even when I started making these changes, I was like, okay, it's zero calories, but it is all chemicals. So how do I wean myself off of this? How do I develop the habit of water? I don't like water. That was my mindset. I don't like water. I don't like drinking it. Driving through the drive-through to get that, you know, like, take that first. It was like it was like a drug addict. I was like, and I would just feel this like wave of like,
gosh, I'm dying.
I was like so addicted to Diet Coke. It wasn't the Diet Coke. It was that act. And so I had to replace that habit. I had to figure out, like, how can I replace this habit instead of just forcing myself to make these changes? Here's the deal. Your environment has to be set up as such that your habits are really easy, so that you don't have to rely on discipline and motivation, because that runs out. And eventually, if it's really easy, if I had Diet Coke in my home, I would drink Diet Coke. I think I told you we had a sad situation last night. And I said to my husband, I go, if there was Diet Coke here right now, I'd be drinking Diet Coke. I want a Diet Coke right now. Look, that was like a fix for me.
Wow. But
now I drink 75 ounces of water every day.
Wow. You guys, I love that she's saying this. And I know that you actually had, I think I saw you had this like program on water and like what you can do to like enhance your ability to drink water. And I know a lot of people could benefit from that because people like water. What I do is I put a big fancy pitcher on my counter and I like to fill it with different things like mint and blueberry, or I'll do lemon and cucumber because it feels like I'm in a spa and then I want to drink.
Yes.
And I keep filling up my water bottle. And then it's just this constant reminder. So, and I bless it because we all know that blessing it will totally changes the chemical makeup of it. But I do want to say, if any of you guys have this like pop soda addiction, it is a real, real thing because of artificial sweeteners in it. It actually acts like a chemical and spikes your desire for more. So that Sweet and Low or aspartame or I don't know the different names for them, but the people put them in their coffees too, thinking it's zero calorie, but it actually sparks this desire for more and craving for more. It like alters the brain. So be aware that you're not alone in that. And it is actually a very addictive substance because it is zero calories. It's made with that stuff. But one quick question. I know we're done, but I want to ask, what is one, because you said you have a morning ritual now, what is one thing you do in the morning to set yourself up for peace?
Starting the night before, I prepare my morning the night before. I think that's really important. I fill up 3 water bottles the night before, all 3 of them, because they stay cold for, 24 hours. So I fill up 3 and I put them on my counter. Now I don't have to like figure out how much have I had today. When those 3 are done, then my day is done. I fill up 3 the night before. Every day I write out my plan on paper and I lay it across my sink.
Nice.
Because if I don't, I don't know when I'm going to get to it. If I lay it across my sink, I don't allow myself to brush my teeth. So I hooked it to another habit.
So
brushing my teeth is mindless for everybody. So if I lay this across my sink, I can't brush my teeth without first looking at my day. I micro journal my gratitude. And so I write that down. And then the first hour of my day, the first several hours of my day until 11 or 12, I do not open email. And I do not open social media. I don't look at social media. I might post something, but I do not look at messages. I don't look at other people's content. I start my day with something that grows my mind. And 90% of the time, that's an audible book.
Nice. I love that. That's so practical and not hard. I love that.
I think so. I love it. It makes me, I can't wait to wake up and because I pick out my audiobook the night before. So I'm going to bed going, oh, I cannot wait to hear the next chapter or whatever it is.
Nice.
So it wakes me up quickly and it starts my day with growth as opposed to comparison.
Nice. Growth over comparison. I love that. Love that.
How about you? What does your morning look like?
Well, I'm not going to say it's like all always systematic. I'm either traveling and I do have kids that are home, and my youngest, if she feels my energy out in the family room, she's crawling in my lap, which I cherish because it's not going to last forever. But for me, I do one thing that's called soul writing every single morning. And some mornings are delicious and I get more time than other mornings, but I try to get up around 5:30 so that I can do my soul writing. And really all that is I start with gratitude and then I just ask like my soul, what would you have me know today? And I have to tell you, a lot of my business ideas, like some of the very biggest things that have taken our business to the next level came from soul writing. Just writing down whatever came up. And some of it seems crazy. And sometimes I get information about my kids and they're like, how did you know? It's really a beautiful, beautiful practice that I just let the quiet in. I let whatever come out. Because I really believe we have this higher intuition within all of us. And I want to tap into that. Like, what does that higher intuition know that my consciousness isn't tapped into right now?
And do you keep this in one journal?
Yep, one journal.
And do you give yourself a length that you want to write or a length of time?
No.
I ask your daughter?
Yeah, I have to give myself that grace because I probably would get frustrated. I'm the type, if I set 15 minutes and if my daughter came in at 5-minute mark, I would be like ticked. Yeah. Then I'm guilty because I'm not treating her nice or whatever. She just woke up. So for me, it's whatever time I have, I use to the fullest. So usually now, and that's why I want to give grace to any young moms out there, because you have to just say, I'm going to write until I have to stop. But I do own that I get up at 5:30, which gives my odds a little higher to give myself some time. I really ideally like 30 minutes, just sometimes. Mm-hmm. She's up at 5:35. So that's just how it is.
Yeah, the best way to de-stress is, if you have children, is you're going to have to get rid of them. they're very stressful. They're messy. They require a lot of attention, and that is stressful. But it's a blessing.
Yeah, totally. Oh, it's been so fun to like talk with you and to get to know you better. I know I learned tons. So thank you so much for this conversation. And I hope everyone listening got so much value out of this. So thank you, everyone.
It's been wonderful. Danette, thank you so much for being here and sharing your vulnerability and your story. There's so much inspiration there. I just am really encouraged that everybody can make just simple changes, just like 1% better. And to realize that you do have so much potential, and you're going to feel it and believe it when you're giving yourself, you're caring for this thing that we have, this body, your brain, your health. It's so much more important than how we look on Instagram. Really, your nutrition and how you treat your body is how the universe is going to give back to you, and how we take care of the people that we care about the most.
Yes. Thank you so much. I love that. And I echo all of that. We love you guys so much. Have an amazing day today. And until next time.
Bye, guys.
Bye.